Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the weird things that don't look good is this tri-faith movement. The interfaith Sundays and things like that. That don't look good. What is that I'm talking about when I say the tri-faith movement? It's where right now in our world, everybody have their own church. You know, you got your own church. The Christians got their own church. The Jews got their own synagogue. The Muslims got their own mosque. Well, there is a coming together, ladies and gentlemen. There is a coming together, the tri-faith movement, where you got this one building now. Well, you got this one building. And then the Jews, they come in there and they worship. Then you got the Christians come in there and they worship. And then you got the Muslims, they come in there and they worship. You know, now people, and that's happening, ladies and gentlemen, all over the country today. They are coming up with these tri-faith movement and tri-faith centers and things like that, these worship centers. But these worship centers are no longer dedicated to one God. They are being dedicated now to two different gods. Because see, the Christian God and the Muslim God is two different gods. But they are saying, no, all three faith, we believe in the same God. Muslim, Jews, and Christians. All of us believe in the same God. No, ladies and gentlemen. And a lot of Christians are buying into that. They're buying into that. And what do the first commandment say? The first commandment of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt have no other God before me. And ladies and gentlemen, actually we think we're going forward, but when you read your Old Testament, particularly over in the books of First and Second Samuel, First and Second King, First and Second Chronicles, you'll read about the high places. The high places, you know what the high places was? The high places was where all different religions come together and you worship your gods. You had different altars. So the Philistines, they had an altar to their god. And the Egyptians had an altar to their god. And the Jews, David and them, had an altar to their gods back in the Old Testament period. And they call that the high places. So we ain't going forward. We're going backwards, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why when people, kings like David and kings like Hezekiah and kings like Josiah, when they became king and stuff, they tore down them high places. They tore them down. And that's what needs to happen today. Rather than building them up, we need to be tearing them down. We don't need to be building up these worship centers where we got all different faith coming together in the name of God. And the other thing they are having today is these interfaith Sundays where We supposed to exchange pulpit between the Muslims and the Christians, but the Muslims they ain't exchanging their pulpit, but the Christians' churches are opening up their doors and letting these Muslims come in there and preach and teach from the Quran. And but we're exposing all that this week on the Ghostbusters. So get close to the radio, because we got an Iranian pastor. He's a Christian pastor now. He used to be a Muslim, but he's coming. He's been teaching this week on Ghostbuster. And so get close to your radio as Sharon Hadi speaks.
So God should be worshipped alone. God is a God of love. How about this one? There's no lying God. This is critical, right? There's no lying God. Numbers, oh, get back here. Numbers 23, for God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? Numbers 23. Now, why is it so critical that God does not lie? I ask you a question. How do you know you're saved? Well, the inerrancy. You have many examples. For example, the testimony of the disciples. That was a big deal for me. When I looked at the gospel, remember, growing up as a Muslim, I wanted to share this with you really quick. It's a quick part of my testimony. Growing up as a Muslim, I was taught that the only guarantee of salvation I had was for Allah. In the hadith, there are actually seven blessings that are given to the martyr. One of those blessings is the whole, you know, focus on the virgins. But what most people don't talk about is the seventh blessing. When you talk to a Muslim, you ask them, do you believe that God has atoned for your sin? They say, we don't believe that a man can ever atone for our sin, because they don't believe Jesus is God, and they believe that you and I think a man became God. So therefore they say, a man can never atone for the sins of man. Not possible. I go, well, you're not a good Muslim. They go, what? I go, you're not a good Muslim. And I go, you have no guarantee of salvation. They go, what? I go, and I go to the verse out of the hadith, which I won't cover in this presentation, but there's a new presentation I have on Islam that I cover, and I say, the number seven of the blessings that Allah promises to the shaheed or the martyr, if they die for the sake of Allah, is that that martyr goes into paradise and now intercedes for 70 of their family. That martyr becomes an intercessor and actually gets to go before Allah and say, hey, 70 of my family, let's go. That's why when you see somebody kill themselves as a martyr, as a jihadist, what do the family do? They have a celebration. Have you ever wondered why they do that? Because they believe they now all are going to heaven. It's called collective salvation. Does that make sense? No, but that's what they believe. So when they say that, well, let me say it this way. Again, going back to my testimony, when I was taught that, I didn't want to die. I liked life. I wanted to live. So I thought, well, I'm not a good Muslim. And there's no other guarantee. There is no other guarantee. Don't let a Muslim tell you there's no other guarantee. Everything else is a maybe. Even if they go to Mecca for their holy pilgrimage, which we'll talk about in a minute, it's a maybe. Maybe Allah will let you in. The only guarantee is to become the shaheed. That's why I say Islam is a culture of death. Now, why is it important that God not lie? Because we are told, and I was told, that God died for me, so I can live for him. Not that I have to die for him, but that he has died for me so I can live for him. And the way he backed it up was not just through the inerrancy of the word, but through the resurrection, right? We know over 500 witnesses, more than that, were witness to the resurrection. And to me, the evidence that was very strong was the disciples themselves. To me, when I looked at the disciples pre-post, I'm like, they're all a bunch of cowards. They all ran and hid. Post, they're going, you can kill us, but we're not going to deny what we've heard and seen. And I'm going, what happened in these guys? What changed? What was it that made them so committed to now become a martyr, not to kill themselves, but to be willing to be died, to be killed for their faith? Is because they saw the risen Christ. So, if the risen Christ was risen, that means everything he said is true. That means that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have eternal hope. Amen? Now, if God lies, how do you trust your eternal hope? How can you trust it? You can't. So what does the Quran say? Who does the Quran say then Allah is? Because the claim today is that we can synonymously use Allah for Jehovah, Jehovah for Allah, no big deal. I mean, I can't tell you how many churches are doing this, how many pastors, how many missions. In fact, if you go to any missions fest, this is now the predominant worldview that we're going to use Allah. We're going to be able to translate Bibles that use Allah. We're going to be able to say that if a Muslim becomes a follower of Christ, they can still pray to Allah because Allah is simply Jehovah. It's just their version of God. So who does the Quran or the sources of Islam or the history of Islam say Allah is? Well, first of all, Allah, I'm going to make my claim and then I'll back it up. Allah is actually the root of Allah, the history of Allah, is he was the moon god. And he was specifically the chief god, but he was the specific god of the tribe of Muhammad. So pre-Islam, you have to understand that the region, the Arabic Peninsula, was strife, was like just full of paganism. There was a lot of different elements of pagan worship. And we know that there was Baal worship going on. So now, Allah, who at that time was one of 360 idols, he was the chief idol over the Kaaba, which I'll show you a picture in a minute, and so he was being worshipped as the chief idol. Muslims today, or even missionaries, will claim that Allah simply means a god in Arabic. This is not true. It means the god, derived from the word al-ilah, the god. You go, well, why is that so critical? Because he was the god of the Kaaba. Pre-Islam, he was being worshipped as the god of the Kaaba. In fact, the Kaaba was referred to as Bayt Allah, or the house of Allah. So pre-Muhammad, he's being worshipped as the chief god, the chief generic god over 360 idols. Remember, 360 because they were, you know, going back to the historical calendar, one idol for each day of the year. So they were worshipping these 360 idols. Allah was a generic god. Muhammad comes on the scene, believes he gives a revelation that he must end polytheism. And so therefore he supposedly comes and says, now we are going to destroy all the other idols, but he conveniently keeps one. By the way, this happened at the end of his ministry. Because at the beginning of his, shouldn't even call it ministry. At the beginning of his life, when he supposedly gets the revelation, for 13 years he's proselytizing in Mecca. He gets about, if I give him a lot of credit, he gets about 150 followers, depending on what source you look at. It is when he moves to Medina, after he had married a wealthy woman, he had become a warlord, he was committing political assassinations, he was doing raids on the caravans, getting money and booty and slaves, and he moves to Medina. In Medina, he actually, according to the hadith himself, drives out two tribes of Jews, and one tribe of Jews called the Banu Qurayza are there in Medina. They're massacred by Muhammad. The Quran says it was called the Battle of Trenches, or some say the Battle of Khaybar, and that they came in there and Muhammad supervised the beheadings of 600 to 900 Jews that were then summarily dumped into a ditch that was dug around Medina. This is what the Prophet of Islam did himself. So today, when the President of the United States and every other top leader says ISIS is not Islam, you should know that they are operating in taqiyya, which is lying, which is propaganda for the American citizens. I don't believe they're ignorant, folks. I don't believe that anymore. Everything that ISIS is doing, the Prophet of Islam did. And the successors, the caliphs that followed him. So now, Muhammad from Medina makes a treaty with Mecca. But he breaks that treaty, like he did in every battle that he went into. And he comes back into Mecca, he routs Mecca, he kills many Meccans, and he goes into the Kaaba, he wipes out all the idols, but he happens to keep one idol. And he says, this idol now is the true God. His name is Allah. But you go, wait a second, what was the specific name? If Allah was a generic name, what was the specific name of the tribe of Muhammad? The tribe of Muhammad, the Quraysh, were worshipping a specific god. What was the specific name of that god? Well, they happened to worship Hubal, or Hu Baal. And Hu Baal was now specifically the moon god. How many of you know in the Bible that Baal worship, or Baal, was represented with the moon? And the Ashtaroth, the female of the Baal, was represented with the star, the heavens, the stars, the moon and the stars. That's why God said, don't worship the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. There's a reason he said that. What is the symbol of Islam today? The moon and the stars. You go, well, where would they get that? Because of the root of Islam, it was Baal worship. From the very foundation of Islam, it was Baal worship. Allah was the chief pagan god of pre-Islam. And Muhammad comes on and says, let me tell you, he's now the one true God. And we're going to call him Allah. So missionaries will today say, there's no problem for a Muslim or a Christian missionary in reaching out to a Muslim using the term Allah. There's no problem. They'll go in, I've had some tell me and email me and correct me, try to correct me and say, you know what, here's the thing. In the Arab countries, they can use Lu Allah and Big Allah and they know what they're talking about. Wow, really? So when they say Allah, they know if it's a Lu Allah or a Big Allah. They go, oh, well look, they used to worship Allah pre-Islam. Yes, they did. So why would you and I then come along and say, let's call the God of the Bible this? Oh, but they all do it. It's okay. Now remember, first of all, I want to remind you, only 15% of Muslims are Arabs. This is predominantly an Arab issue. 15%. Yeah, we think they're all Arabs, don't we? 15% are only Arabs. In Iran, we don't have this problem because when Muslims become Christians, in Iran we have a generic term for God. It's called Khuda. There's no specific deity associated with it. It's just a generic name. But yet we teach Muslims who have become Christians in Iran to call on the true name of Jesus Christ. We teach them the names of God. But yet we're told by missionaries in many mission organizations, this is not a problem. We're going to use Allah. And in fact, it's working. You go, really, it's working. What kind of converts are you seeing? You're going to see later that many of these so-called converts are going back to Islam. The fruit speaks for itself usually. Now, I got to move on. Do you know that also pre-Islam, the tribe of Muhammad not only worshipped Allah, but they served Allah. They were dedicated to Allah in the Kaaba. Muhammad's father was named Ibdi Allah, which means Abdullah or slave of Allah. So how can Muhammad come and introduce the monotheistic one true God to the world if this is who they were worshiping? See, here's the argument that I make with missionaries. And this has got to be our apologetic arguments to anybody who says this. Because Muhammad has revealed Allah. Even if I gave them the claim that Allah was just a generic name for God, Muhammad has come on the scene, and for 1400 years, the Quran has taught us who Allah is. So now we know who Allah is. So now, if I'm calling the true God Allah, I'm referring to the Allah of the Quran. Does that make sense? How do I distinguish in my mind that it's not the same Allah? This doesn't make any sense to me. So therefore, I am being told now, Sharam, you need to get with the program. And I'm telling these missionaries, not only will I never get with your program, I will stand in your way. And I will do everything in my power to point out that you're in error, brother and sister in Christ. I will never use Allah to describe the God of the Bible. Never. Never. Because the more you understand, if I had more time, I can go much more into detail, the fact that in Mecca today, they still worship a black stone. That corner of the Kaaba right there near the door, there's a black stone there that is encased in silver. And forgive me, I know there's young kids in the room. It looks like the private parts of a woman. And the black stone, I'm done now. The black stone, they go and they touch it and they believe that it takes away their sins. You go, why would they believe that? Isn't that idolatry? Yes, but that's what they did pre-Islam. If you track this black stone, you can see that it was a good chance that it was a stone that was talked about with the queen, with the false god of Artemis, when Paul was talking about Artemis. And that this black stone, you know, a stone that fell from heaven was being worshipped. And then in about the second century AD, it goes missing. And archaeologists don't know where it went until the next place we see it is now in Mecca. And today they still worship it. In fact, Muslims believe that if they go to that corner and touch that black stone, maybe Allah will let them into heaven. You see, the majority of aspects of worship are still pagan in Islam. And 1.6 billion people are following it, and now many Christians are beginning to also embrace it. Hubal and Allah are one and the same. It is pagan. It is false. It is the moon god. It is demonic, folks. It is the Antichrist spirit. That's why I will never call the true God of the Bible Allah. Now, two other things I want to cover about this Allah. One, did you know Allah is never mentioned as a God of love in the Quran? Not one time is He ever mentioned as a God of love. He's mentioned as the All-Merciful One, but never as a God of love. And do you also know that one of the 99 names that is given to Allah in the Quran is that Allah Khairul Makrin. The word Makrin or Al-Makr means deceiver. And the word Khairul means the greatest, the chief, the top. So that translates Allah is the chief of the deceivers. He reveled in war. He reveled in war to deceive his enemies. And that's why Muslims are taught this concept of taqiyya or taqiyya. Surah 16 teaches the Muslim that if they're in a non-Muslim country, if they're in a situation where their conscience is being threatened, where their risk of their conscience is being threatened, they're permitted to lie to protect their conscience. The opposite of what you and I as a Christian would believe, right? That in order to protect our conscience, we shouldn't lie. Does that sound like the same God to you? So the God of the Bible is a God of love. The God of the Bible says don't worship other gods. The God of the Bible is a God of truth. The God of Islam has roots in paganism, in Baal worship. He's not a God of love. He lies. And He's the chief of liars. Tell me how we're having discussion today that there's a common God. There are many missionaries now that are saying that we believe that Allah is the same as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have big problems ahead of us. Now, real quick, we got to move on. Real Jesus. There's another argument, right? You see, in the Bible, what does the Bible say about Jesus? He's the Son of the living God. I'm not going to read these verses. You can look them up yourself. Jesus is the Son of the living God, right? That's a paramount belief as Christians, right? That is a foundational belief that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Amen? Jesus is also fully God, fully man. There's another foundational belief. That He was fully God and became fully man, not the other way around. So when sometimes I talk to Muslims, they say, well, you believe a man became God. No, I don't. We believe God came down to earth and became man. They have a hard time with that. You know why? There's two reasons. First of all, you see, in Islam, Allah is so powerful. I'm being facetious. Allah is so powerful that He only speaks one language. And that's Arabic. Now think about this for a second. Every Muslim is commanded to speak Arabic or at least pray in Arabic. When they do their daily prayers, they're commanded to pray in Arabic. It's got to be classical Arabic. If they're wrong in their prayers, they can get in trouble. Yet only 15% of Muslims are Arabs. And as Islam grows, Allah has a problem because He can't communicate with His people. The second thing that is very amazing is that Allah is so powerful, once again I'm being facetious, that He can't enter His own creation. It says in the Quran that He's not permitted to enter His creation. That's why they believe that a God can never become a man. You see, the true God of the Bible is so powerful that He speaks every language, even languages that you and I may not have existed years ago, today exist. He speaks every language of every tribe of every nation. The God of the Bible is so powerful that He can enter His creation whenever He chooses and pleases. Now, I don't know about you. That's the God I want to follow. It's not the same God, but Jesus is fully God, fully man. And of course, we know that the Bible clearly claims that Jesus is the only path of salvation. He is the only way. The way. There's no other way. There can be no other way. Because any other way makes Him null and void. If the moment that we, you and I believe that there's another way to heaven, that there's another salvation, there's another hope, Jesus' sacrifice becomes useless. Is that not a good apologetics argument? You see, logic, we got to exercise some logic. Because you can't make the claim that He is a savior for some. Because that's not what He claimed. So He's fully God, fully man. Now what does the Quran teach about this so-called Jesus? Remember the imam that came to that church in Tacoma? Opened the Quran, Jesus is in the Quran, and they gave Him a standing ovation. Did you know that? Dear God, help us. The Quran mentions Esau 97 times. But interestingly enough, every time, he is a prophet only. He is a prophet of Allah. In fact, the Quran teaches he's a Muslim. Did you know that? He's a Muslim. Here's another billboard that you see around the world. There are Muslim groups that put these billboards. Here's another one. Jesus, a prophet of Islam. MyPeace.com.au. This is a group, by the way, that is connected to the Worldwide Muslim Brotherhood Network. You go, who are these billboards for? Muslims? Oh, they're for non-Muslims. For Christians who don't know their word. Don't know Islam. They go, did you know Jesus is in the Quran? How wonderful, right? Look, we can have common ground. So they go, Jesus. And you go, well, wait a second. Do you know that not only the Jesus, the Isa that is in the Quran, not only does he claim to be a prophet, do you know that he vehemently denies that he is God? Look what it says in Surah 572. The Messiah has said. He calls himself the Messiah. But it doesn't mean what it means to you and I. The Messiah has said, indeed, he who associates others with Allah, Allah has forbidden him paradise, and his refuge is the fire. If anybody says that I, the Messiah, am connected with Allah, meaning I'm God, Allah will send you to hell. Is that pretty strong? Does that get across what they're trying to say? And it's not just they, it's the Isa of the Quran who is saying it. So the Isa of the Quran is denying the Jesus of the Bible. 1 John.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there. Wow. Listen, don't be duped. It's so many folks out there today that are just being duped. The Jesus of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. Oh, let that sink. Let that sink. Oh, my goodness. All right, thank you so kindly for joining us, listening to us all day long, because we're in your corner. Right here on Ghostbusters. Don't let the devil ride. 'Cause he